Kathy called me one day last week and said, "Lonnell, Sunday is June 10th. Would you preach?" And I'm having a very, very busy week, but you know what? I could not say no. I was not feeling well, had a trip out of town to come back because I always feel privileged when I have the opportunity to proclaim God's word to this congregation. And so today, I'm going to talk to you because of the fact that today is June 10th. I want you to listen to this again. You've heard it. "I hate, I despise your festivals, and I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer me your burnt offerings, I will not accept them. And the offering of well-being of your fatted animals, I will not look upon. Take away from me the noise of your songs." Boy. "I will not listen to the melody of your harps, but let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream." What is the message that Amos has given to Israel from the Lord? I'm sure we know and remember that Israel has been exiled because of the fact that she's hard-hearted, headstrong, determined to do it on her own way, and then treat God's people, the poor, the aliens among them, cheat them of their earnings, even fail to leave the gleanings. So we've got a group of people here who are absolutely hard-hearted and mean-spirited. And so what we're talking about here today is, and what I'd like us to ask and to ask you to consider, how does Amos's message to Israel apply to us? Is there something for us in that message? I'd like us also to think about, why it is that God gave Amos that message. And what I want to do in doing this is to incorporate Juneteenth message. I'm sure everybody here knows that Juneteenth, when I was a kid growing up, it was the 19th of June. And we didn't do any work on that day. Those plows, those mules, those tractors, those paperwood trucks, those milled loggers went silent as it related to the African Americans in the little hick town where I grew up. And that was a time for celebration and for us to get together and have picnics and eat watermelon and good food and have a good time. We'd also drink a few beers too. But that is what Juneteenth was about. Now, let's go back and look a little bit at it historically. What happened here? It was in January 1, 1963, that President Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation. Why was it that that message for 2.5 years had not been disseminated among the people, among the slaves? They didn't know they were still doing what they were doing. And it just so happens that this Union general, General Granger, in visiting and being around Galveston, he saw things going on, business as usual. People, slaves, and their masters were going on about what they were doing. Well, and I guess there are a couple good things that we need to think about regarding that. Why did it take so long for the word to get out? Do you think there may have been vested interest that may have made sure that that word didn't get out? And so, 2.5 years. But people were still, African Americans were still enslaved. They were still carrying on the work of slaves. They were still being treated poorly as though they were subhuman. And I want to ask myself and ask yourself, is God pleased when we enslave, when we oppressed, when we denigrate others regardless to their station in life? Remember, someplace back there we had a decision called the Dred Scott decision. You all remember that? No. Well, the Dred Scott decision made it clear that we black folks were subhuman, that we didn't have the same rights, that we were less than the rest of us. And so all of this is being brought into, and Lincoln went to great lengths and took an extreme amount of criticism, almost separated the Union because of the fact that he insisted that slavery, in all of its ugliness, was brutal. It was not right. It was not consistent with what God wanted America to be. And so this goes on. And then after Juneteenth, after we are supposedly set free. But stop and think, that's a very complicated situation, because now if you take someone who has never known freedom, who you have refused to allow to learn to read, who you have refused to allow to do mathematics, to have any school, how can you take that person who's never known a day of freedom and set him free, let him go? What is the outcome of that? You don't, listen, if you haven't seen it, you don't know it, right? I'm told, and I've learned, that we learn what we see. And so there was this vast chasm that slaves had to try and, what's the word that I'm trying to say, that they had to try and overcome. And we're not, then on top of that, after they are free, we get all the Jim Crow laws. Anybody in here ever lived in the South in the 40s and 50s or 60s or 70s? Not only was it in the South, it was also, we had a little bit of it right here in California too, and all over the country. But the point is that there were Jim Crow laws that were specifically designed to keep you in your place. Did you ever go into a store where there was a fountain here that said white only and one here that said colored only? Have you ever gone to a bus stop or to a bus station and where, as a kid growing up, when I caught the bus to go off to college or wherever, there was a waiting room colored and there was a waiting room for white. And never shall the two intersect. And so built into that system also was a system of inferior schools. We didn't get our books until the white kids had used them 4 or 5 years, and then they transferred them over to us. And they're separate but clearly unequal. And so what we have had in our country is that we've had a history of oppression. Saying to those of us of color, you are not equal. What amendment was it to the Constitution that said black folks were 3/4 of a human being or something like that? Who knows that? Those types of things are the things that indwelt in our society. And I want us to think about today. Now, I'm not trying to tell you that those conditions exist today. We all know better. There's a vastly different world out here. That our country has made great, great strides to live into equality, a level playing field. And I will tell you, in my not-so-humble opinion, has done a great job. It's a long time coming. A long time coming. But I say to kids today, the African-American kids, work hard, do good, be as good as anybody else, and you know what? There's a path of people beating a trail to your door today. Isn't that wonderful? To know that if you can compete on an equal footing, that there will be enormous opportunities. As a matter of fact, sometimes I think we've gone too far in trying to give black people everything, or minorities. Give you. And parents not expecting much and not telling people and not being informed of work ethic. The other part of that, I'll share a little personal story with you, is that in the maternal side of my family, my great-grandfather came out of slavery in Union Parish, Louisiana, and he worked his butt off. We are told that every odd job that came along that he was available, he took it. And he worked. And you know the other thing that he did? He saved his pennies. And as a result of that, was able to accumulate a few hundred acres of land. This is my grandmother. And he also, God had given Alan Payne a vision. Get an education. Own the land. And never separate from the land. I grew up hearing and live with that today. And my grandmother would say, don't ever let a white man get an acre of this land. If he does, they'll find a way to get it off. And you know what? My family has lived into that creed, and I preach that to my children right now. I don't care what you're doing. If some of that land is going to go up for sale, and if you have to overbid. But don't let the land get out of the family. My grandparents, my grandmother instilled in me, work hard. Be better than the other person. Study. And you know what? My grandmother always said, an out of line is the devil's workshop. And she made sure that every day when I was out of school, that I had chores to do. My dad did that when I was a kid, when my parents were in Louisiana. My dad said, make sure that the grass is cut, make sure that the hogs are fed, make sure. And if you didn't do that, there was a price to pay. And a part of what goes on with our society right now is we want to give everybody everything and nobody wants to spank a child, but, well, you can believe what you want. But I know one thing. When I got a spanking, that reminded me the next time to get it done. It made me pick up my books and do the work. So what am I trying to say here? I'm going off all these places. But what I'm trying to say is that in spite of the additional burden that we've had to bear, that we have overcome that by lots of people. Hey, listen to this. In 2021, the U.S. Congress passed the Juneteenth National Independence Day Act. Now, that's symbolic, isn't it? But it also speaks to the fact of where we are and where we are in this day. And so what I would ask all of us is, God expects us as Christians not to be friends with oppression. You heard that in the prayer that Reverend Kathy read. Let us not make friends with wrong, no matter where it is and no matter what condition it takes. Let us, this is what has happened, is that Israel just got comfortable. We're going to take away, we're going to do things, and too many people were doing the things wrong. Are we too comfortable in our lives, in our existence, in our country? Are we too comfortable to look the truth in the eye? And when you see injustice, a lot of times people will turn their heads and walk away. That is not the way of Christendom. The way of Christendom is to look people in the eye lovingly and tell them the truth in love. Do not be a part of that in any situation. Let us live into this ethic, and let's live into what Jesus talked about as he read from the scroll. You remember what he said? He has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and the recovery of sight to the blind, and to let the oppressed go free. Are we willing to do that? And when he was talking about the blind, he ain't just talking about the physical blind. He's talking about those of us who are spiritually blind, those of us who will not see, who will not know and understand and live in love. Love ain't easy. Love calls us to be accountable. It calls us to look those, our kids, our families, everyone, to look us in the eye and lovingly set us on the right path. Is that right? So I'm going to close. God, with these few words, God expects us to live by Christian principles. That ain't oppression. That's not living with wrong when we see it in front of our eyes. God expects us to carry the banner. God expects us to live in love and to love one another as he's loved us. And I will tell you for sure, you know for sure, I don't have to tell you, that that is not caving in to wrong. And so I ask us today as we leave here to let justice flow like water and righteousness like a flowing stream. That's the message. Amen.